Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
It's the bank holiday weekend, the May bank holiday weekend, and things are beginning to kick off around the country. So we decided we'd do a whistle-stop tour to see what's going on this weekend. And our first stop is Kiltullan District Vintage Show. It's on near Athenry this Sunday. And Niamh Harty is secretary of the show, and she's on the line now. Good afternoon, Niamh.
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Not too bad. How are preparations going for the Kiltullan District Vintage Show?
Oh, it's full steam ahead here in Kiltullan today.
Steam. There's a nice pun there.
Yeah.
Is there steam? Is there steam engines there? Will there be steam?
Yes, we have a steam engine arriving in Kiltullan from County Kerry tomorrow around 4 o'clock.
Right. And what was that? What was its function when it was in use? Do you know?
I think it would have driven some mill of some form.
Yes, right. I see you're completely on top of everything. No joke. Yeah. So how long has the Kiltullan District Vintage Show been going?
We formed in 2015, and this year would be our 7th show.
Great. And you have threshing and steam engines, as you say, old-time farm displays, kitchen and old-time cooking displays, butter churning, wood carving, timber sawing, a dedicated children's entertainment field, Shannos dance and food and tray stalls, music by John Lennon, the Wranglers. These are the things that used to be in every small town around the country back in the day, but there are less and less of them.
Yeah, this year now we're hosting the Ivita National Rally, the Irish Vintage Engine and Tractor Association, and
brilliant.
Their purpose is, or their objectives, like every small club around the country, vintage club around the country, is the restoration, the preservation, and I suppose the exhibition of all types of vintage, whether that be machines, tractors, cars, stationary engines, anything of heritage interest, old-time demonstrations. So that's what these shows try to do.
To give them a platform.
Kind of start off this time of the year run throughout the summer to try and give people a platform to showcase.
And which is hugely important, because I was talking to somebody about this during the week, and you know, classic cars and tractors and all that. They're a labour of love for these people.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And they, you know, so they work away in their garages and painting them up and cleaning them and everything. So it's great for them to come out to places like the Kiltullan District Vintage Show and show off their wares.
Well, it's a great hobby, and in the vintage, there's a great community of vintage people around Ireland, and there's great camaraderie amongst the clubs and amongst the people that come to these shows and support the clubs throughout the show season.
Now, I'm wondering,
a great place to make friends.
I'm wondering, will you have things like that I remember from my childhood? You know, where they had it was like a raised bed with sand in it, and then you had little pieces of paper stuck in the sand, and you draw it out, and you might be lucky enough to win a prize. That sort of thing. No.
We did have Fish the Bottle at one stage, but now we've kind of gone more modern. We have a dedicated children's area in one of the fields this year, and it would be more modern with
more
what kids are looking for today.
Yeah.
Bouncy castles,
yes,
and 35-foot slides, things like that.
Great. And I said near Athenry. How far are you from Athenry?
We'd probably be less than 5 miles from Athenry. We're actually 3 minutes from Junction 16 off the M6.
Well, that's great. Niamh Harty, secretary of the Kiltullan District Vintage Show, which happens this Sunday. And you've heard Niamh give you the instructions. Good luck with everything, Niamh. Lovely talking to you.
Right.
Enjoy your weekend. See you. Bye.
Thanks.
Now, there's a charity swim on Monday out in Port Marnock in Dublin, and Anna Pereira, who's a nurse in the Rotunda Hospital neonatal unit, is on to tell us about it. Hello, Anna.
Hi, how are you, Ray? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. Now, this is for a very good cause, your dip on Monday.
Yes, it is. So we are hoping to raise enough funds to buy 10 incubator covers for the unit to protect our little babies from harsh lights and noises.
Okay, and they cost €500 each.
They do. They are commercially made. They are the best on the market, and they have little flaps that allow us to have special lights for treatments for the babies and also cameras. So if for any reason the parents cannot be around, we can have cameras so they can monitor the baby. So if we were to make make the incubator covers ourselves, it would be harder to have all of that.
It's terrible that we live in a country that you as a nurse have to go out and fundraise to get these essential pieces of equipment. But there you go, that's the world we live in, and you're doing amazing stuff. So you're hoping to raise €5,000 on Monday. How can people help you?
So they can donate through scanning the QR codes of posters that are spread around the North City, or they can reach the Rotunda Foundation website, search for NICU, and you'll see Carol Camto, that's one of the other nurses. Her name is on it, and there's a few duckies there, so you know we're in the right place.
Okay. And it's going to be cold, you know that, just you've done it before, have you?
We have. So this all started because Carol and I did the charity swim or charity dip for Women's Aid back in January. And then we decided to start doing some cold swims, and we've been doing it ever since. Uh-huh. And it was after one of our cold swims, we thought, what if? And the idea just grew and grew from there. And the support that we've been having from the multidisciplinary team in the unit and from the community itself has been absolutely overwhelming.
Yeah, well, it's a great cause, and good luck on Monday. And thanks for taking our call. Anna Pereira there. A nurse at Rotunda Hospital's neonatal unit, and they're hoping to raise 5,000 to get those covers for the little incubator units. Still by the sea, we go down to Waterford and we say hello to Marie Power. Hello, Marie.
Hi, Ray.
Is it Marie as opposed to Mary?
Yeah.
Marie, yes.
It is, yeah, Marie. Yeah.
Now, you're going to be by the sea on Monday. What are you doing?
We're doing a seaweed forage and beach picnic on Monday morning on the Copper Coast, which is kind of the middle of County Waterford. And we'll be showing people what they can eat and can't eat and what to do with it, and telling them about all the modern and traditional ways they can use seaweed. And then we bring along the camping stove and we cook up afterwards, and we have a little picnic.
And you were reared seaweed on seaweed, treats. Were you?
Well,
not really.
Someone tried. Various people did their very best to rear us on it, but it wasn't our favourite ingredient, I can tell you, when we were children, because it was seen as a very healthy medicinal thing, and it was always given in large quantities, and the encouragement was just to eat it and get it into you because it was good for you. I grew up in an era when things like choice hadn't reached the table, the Irish table. You just ate what you were given. So I think it was a bit of an overload, being honest.
Yes.
And along with most Irish people, we moved away from it in the kind of 80s, 90s. And then with all of our food, with all of our indigenous food, all our good ingredients, we started to look at French food, Italian food, Mexican food, and we got all excited by foreign stuff.
Yes.
And it's taken us a whole generation to come back. And so when I came back to seaweed and my own children were teenagers, I took the approach of less is more. And I just basically chopped it up and hid it in the food that they were eating.
So
slayer, they came to it. I know. I think it was a justifiable white lie myself, and they would probably say that now if they're asked, because they came around to it and they love it now. And even when we go foraging and people are trying it for the first time, and they're asking, how much of it do I need? Because, like, you know, you can eat a seaweed like dillisk. You've probably heard of dillisk,
yes.
Ray. It would be a really popular snack.
I've eaten seaweed as well. I've eaten a good bit of seaweed over the years in Japanese restaurants.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of like they're green, isn't it?
They call them sea vegetables, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And it's funny even because chefs will ring me up looking for things like nori and kombu. And I'll say to them, well, I can't give you nori, but I'll give you slaucon, because that's more or less the same thing. But nobody knows the Irish word for the Irish name.
Give us it again.
Slaucon.
Slaucon. So that's the Irish word for
slaucon. In a Waterford accent, it's slaucon.
Right. Right. So you're going to be there on Monday between 10 o'clock and 1, the Copper Coast,
yeah.
Waterford, seaweed forage and beach picnic. And that'll be a lovely thing to do. Bring all the family. Thanks, Marie. Good luck with that. Bye,
okay.
Bye. And another thing that's happening over the weekend, a big thing, 82,000 people are pouring into Croke Park, and the majority of them will be wearing blue and cheering on Leinster in their semi-final in Vestek Cup against Northampton. And Shane Byrne is on the line to preview that for us. How are you doing, Shane?
Hey, Ray, how are you doing?
Not too bad. This is very exciting, isn't it?
It's amazing the occasion, like, for the 82,000 people to sell out 36 hours was something that just nobody expected. It's very, very smart by the ERC that they put the tickets at a good friendly price that everybody was able to handle, but no one expected this demand for the tickets, so it's going to be a fantastic occasion.
Just remind us about the history of rugby in Croke Park.
Yeah, well, the last time that we were, when we started playing in Croke Park, it was very simply because Lansdowne Road was being redeveloped into the Aviva as it is now. And we played there for three or four seasons, and there were a few provincial games. And Leinster's history there would be that they beat Munster in the semi-final back probably when this Leinster run started. And that's probably the history from a Leinster point of view. And we're back here now again because the Aviva is getting fixed up for the Europa semi-final, I think it is. And they have to change the structures around the Aviva. So we're in Croke Park, and just this amazing atmosphere that seems to be building from it is that, you know, to fill the place in such a short space of time was something that nobody expected.
Is there going to be extra pressure on the players now tomorrow, knowing that they're in Croke Park, 82,000 people?
Yeah, well, it's a hard thing to deal with. Firstly, that the players will be playing the game, not the occasion. Mm. Firstly, that's the way their mindset would be. That's, if you're talking to them, that's the way they'll talk to you about it. But look, they're very aware of it. There's no doubt. And the added pressure will be, the longer you would expect Leinster, if you just talking about the game, Northampton are playing great rugby. This is quite a challenge for Leinster. We don't have quite the team out, a couple of injury worries, Gary Ringrose, for instance, not worries that they just didn't make the selection, but nothing that should weaken the side. So Leinster will be expected, particularly with the result they had against La Rochelle, they would be expected to be able to get this result. But the longer the game goes on, and the longer that, if it goes that way, that Northampton are very, very close into the game, the pressure no doubt will build against Leinster. But look, this is something that Leinster have to get over. This is something they haven't had silverware for quite a while now, despite being supposedly the dominant sides results wise in the last two seasons, or three seasons you could even say, between Europe and the URC, but no silverware. So this is something that is very much on the players' minds at the moment, should you say.
Can you explain to our listeners, Shane, as your former Leinster player, mm-hmm. former international, how important will the crowd of, and probably 75,000 of them will be cheering for Leinster, how important is that to the team?
It's a strange one to deal with while you're playing on the pitch, because you're very focused on what you're doing. You're very focused with the person who's running at you. You're very focused with the ball that you're about to receive or the next job that you're going to do. But there's the swell of volume just when something positive happens that lifts you, and you can feel it. If a line break is made and you're chasing it down, it gives you that extra little bit of energy just to keep going. It is there, it's no doubt. Now, it, as you talked about previously, it does bring that little bit of pressure on it when it doesn't go the right way. So that is the trade-off in it. But the simple fact is that this is, you would expect, like Northampton's, I think 40% of Northampton's allocation of tickets came back.
Right.
Unfortunately, the Premiership sides don't travel well for the European Cup, particularly not the semi-finals. And so this really should be a sea of blue. So if there's any positivity to be garnered from having your home support there, which is technically supposed to be a neutral ground, well, Leinster have it in spades today.
Okay.
Or tomorrow.
Who's going to win? Who's going to win, Shane?
Yeah, I honestly think that Leinster will see it through. I think that Northampton are a challenge. They're playing a great brand of rugby themselves that has them at the top of their premiership at the moment. But I think that Leinster, what they showed against La Rochelle, they're very, very focused. And particularly the last two games against the South African side, they sent down, not their senior players. And I think it's very, very focused on this. So I expect Leinster by 10 plus points.
Thanks very much to Shane Byrne. And Shane is working on the radio tomorrow doing analysis, and the kickoff there in Croke Park, Leinster versus Northampton, semi-final is at 5:30.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.